They can't beat you. They're going to try and fight you, which is what TJ Houshmandzadeh is going to try to do to me because he's a Laker guy through and through. And he's a little bit bitter that his Lakers lost. And every Laker guy laughs at the Clippers. And now the Clippers are still playing, although they're at their nemesis point, which is the second round of the playoffs. TJ, how are you?
Wow, that you set all that up to say, that was pretty good, Doug. I'm good. How are you,
man? Oh, good, man. It was fun to coach these kids. They end up, we got to go to overtime to win a championship. They played four games. They were so, I can't imagine how tired those kids, like I'm tired coaching them. They had to be so tired today, but they it was pretty awesome.
There's nothing like it, man, when you coach kids and you lose to a team and they think they can intimidate you and to come back and beat them. Man, it's nothing like it. Nothing like it at all.
Correct. Correct. It's the absolute best. And when you do it with a group of guys, they've been playing together for a while now, it makes it even sweeter. I want to get to football in a second, but you are a hardcore Laker guy. How much of this blame does LeBron deserve?
Oh, when you're the best player, when you get all the credit, you have to take some of the blame. That's just the reality of it. But everybody knew, without AD, and I've never, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've never seen a collection of role players play so bad. Like, they could not make a shot. And that was a telling point, at least for me, that they really didn't have a chance, man. But they could not, they didn't adjust till the second half of game six when he started playing LeBron at center. But that was when I thought they adjusted. But before that, they clogged the paint, shoot a jump shot, they couldn't make it. So, of course, LeBron has to take some of the blame because when they win, he gets all the credit.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, one, it's father time catching up with him a little bit. But two, you know, very few teams are winning when their star or co-star isn't playing. Just not happening, right? You want to pick out the series. And by the way, in this case, Phoenix is pretty good. It's not like they were the 2 seed playing against the 7 seed and they didn't have Anthony Davis. Granted, the Lakers would have been higher than a 7 seed had they not gotten hurt. But I would chalk that one as much, if not more, to injuries than anything else.
And I said this to someone the other day. The Lakers were the 7 seed. If you take Devin Booker or DeAndre Ayton out of that Phoenix lineup, do they beat the Lakers? Probably go 7. You take Paul George or Kawhi off the Clippers. I mean, it's a different series. I would say that about Dallas, but, man, Luka is so phenomenal that you take whomever off that team, as long as he's in the lineup, they still have a chance.
Speaking of the Clippers, did you think they were done?
I truly did, and I wanted them to be done. But the Clippers are good. And with what did I just talk about with the Lakers? The Clippers' role players stepped up. Marcus Morris stepped up. Reggie Jackson stepped up. Those two guys made big three after big three, and that's what you have to have. If you're going to win a championship, your role players have to play well when you need them, and they hit timely threes consistently.
Yeah, no, they were. I thought Ty Lue made some great adjustments as well, right? Like using Trey Mann as like a small ball five. You know, he ditched Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley didn't even take off his sweats. Like, those are some hard decisions you got to make, and he made them. He pushed the right buttons. He did an excellent job.
He earned his money. It wasn't looking good, though, was it?
No.
It wasn't looking good when they were down. It's like, oh, here we go again. But he earned his money, and kudos to him. They found a way to get it done when me amongst everyone, oh, they're done. I counted them out, and I was guilty of that as well. And they just played well, man. You got to give them their credit. But Kawhi Leonard was phenomenal. He doesn't talk much, but his game speaks volumes. Game 6 and 7, he was out of this world, and that's why they're playing the Utah Jazz.
No question about it. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's get to football. You are a wide receiver savant. Julio Jones, what are reasonable expectations for him at this stage in his career coming off an injury-plagued year?
If he's healthy, wow. That's the key with Julio is he's been beat up lately. We all know that he's been hurt. But if Julio is healthy, the sky's the limit. If he can play 16 games, him, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry what are you going to do? You just hope the coach doesn't get too pass happy and kind of get away from what they are because they have all these weapons. That, to me, would probably be the biggest key, is not to try to do too much, because now you have multiple cars, but you really only can drive one at a time. Just be smart with what they're doing.
Okay, but they losing Jonnu Smith and replacing him with Julio Jones, like, that was a big part of what they did, right? Play action and then hit tight end, play action, and then you have, you know, elite talented wide receiver. How much does it change now that you have two talented wide receivers, but you don't have the same talent tight end?
I think they'll evolve into very similar to what they were doing, Doug, but it will be also different, meaning they can do the same thing. Now it's just three wides instead of a double tight end set, and you're pretty much going to get the same type of look defensively, and it will make it a little easier, though. When you have three wides, it's pretty easy for the quarterback to see single high or two high. And so we'll make the reads a little easier, but these coaches are smart, man. You can pretty much do the same thing, just a different way.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Mark Murphy came out and he answered an email on Packers.com, and he said, look, Aaron, this thing has divided our fan base. Did he say anything wrong in saying that?
No. I mean, when you have a player of Aaron Rodgers' caliber, that's going to happen. You're going to have people that agree with him, that are on his side, and you're going to have the diehard Green Bay Packers fan. Like, I don't care who this is. I don't care who you are. I'm rolling with my team. And he's 100% correct in what he said. It's divided the fan base. And if you feel that way, rectify it. Figure out a solution and make sure both parties are happy. Whatever that solution is, I don't know. But they can figure it out if they want to.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Which is the other part that he said is, you know, we want to figure it out. We want to make it work. How do you make it work?
I mean, for me, I would go, you just got to see and say, okay, Aaron, what do you want? Well, what do you want? If you really want to go, the problem is the draft is passed. So who's going to give up draft capital?
They'll give up draft capital, but it's not as valuable.
It's not as valuable. And so do you have to keep them right now if you're the Packers? It's too late. You have to keep them. There's no point in you getting rid of them now. There's really no point to get rid of them now. So the point, you trade him midway through the season or next off season, and that, to me, is the only way both parties walk away and say, okay, I feel good about what we've done. If not, it's a cluster. You know what? Like, how do you think Jordan Love feels? Damn, was Aaron Rodgers really genuine with me? Like, you just don't know. When A-Rod comes back, it's going to be a problem. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, no question. It's going to be – there's going to be some issues there. But, of course, you start playing games, he starts winning games, it doesn't, in fact, matter. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so with that in mind, let's pepper a little bit around the league. If you were San Francisco, how would you handle your quarterback situation?
I would personally want to start Garoppolo out the gate. I mean, you got to look. Trey Lance didn't have a lot of starts. He didn't play at a high level. And so you don't want to put him in that situation. Now, if he lights it up in OTAs and training camp and he's just doing really well, you have a shorter lease for Jimmy G. But regardless, Jimmy G has to be opening day starter. And if Trey Lance can develop and advance his game from a mental perspective, it gives you something to think about. But an ideal situation, Jimmy G plays well, they have a good year, and see if they can trade him when the season ends and move on to Trey Lance if he develops throughout his rookie year.
I was watching Chad Johnson box, and I wondered what you guys have been boys for a long time, junior college teammates, NFL teammates. How'd your boy do in the ring?
I thought he did well, man. I talked to him yesterday, probably – talked to him a couple times, talked to him yesterday morning, and I talked to him literally just before he was walking to the ring. And just like, hey, Chad, man, be smart. Use your legs, giving angles. Don't take chances unless you feel like you can knock him out. And so I felt he got a little comfortable in the third round. Did he get dropped? Yeah, he got dropped. But like a true champ, it ain't about how many times you get knocked down. We preach this in every sport we play. It's how many times you got up. He got up. He fought hard. I'm proud of him because we can. Everybody can make memes, and everybody can say this, and everybody can say that. Get your butt in the ring. You get your butt in the ring because it's different, man. When it's just you and another man, your nerve, I mean, it's a different game. I'm proud of what he did. I thought he accounted very well for himself. And in my opinion, he won the fight. He won the first three rounds. Yeah, he got dropped. But if you know boxing, you win the first three rounds. That knockdown, you still win the fight. But I thought he did very, very well for himself.
Have you ever been in the ring in a real fight?
In a real fight, no. I've sparred plenty of times. But being in the ring, no. I haven't done it in a while. You know me, Doug. The competitor in me says, oh, I'll do perfectly fine. And Chad has sparred and boxed a lot more recent than I have. And you can, it's just, it's not natural for us because we don't do it on a regular basis. You tell, go tell that guy to cover Chad 10 times in one-on-ones. He's going to lose all 10 reps. All 10. It's a different ball game. We athletes and we competitors think, oh, man, I can do this. I'll pick this up quick. But when them punches is coming at your face, Doug, a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, everybody, what is it? Everybody has a plan until you get punched, until you get hit in the mouth?
Right. Everybody has a plan until you get hit. Chad felt that punch. He's like, oh, okay, I can take this. But
what was he doing? Was he trying to give him a high five when he knocked him down? What was he doing there?
I think he was shocked, Doug. Honestly, I think he was shocked that he got dropped because the buddy hadn't landed a punch on Chad pretty much the whole fight. Not a telling punch. And so I think that it shocked him. But anybody, Chad is not a fighter, man. Chad is a fun-loving dude. For him to get in there and do what he did, kudos to him. I talked to him after the fight. He went, how'd I do, T? Boy, you did well, very well. And so hopefully he doesn't try to make this a yearly thing or a habit, so to speak, but
yeah,
he did well, man. And I think any athlete that has boxed knows how well he did.
TJ Usmanzada, Up On Game is every Saturday, 10 to 2 Eastern Time, Plexico Burress, LeVar Arrington, and of course, TJ Usmanzada. Hoosh, you the best, man. Talk soon.
Hey, man, are you watching softball in the studio?
I am watching softball. Everybody I know is watching softball. I actually had some kids. We were watching the Clipper game yesterday in this dude's van, in one of those Sprinter vans, in between games, and the Clipper game's over, and they're like, hey, let's watch that softball. That softball's awesome. Everybody knows watching the softball.
Hey, man, your Oklahoma State Cowgirls made a run at it, so I'll give you that. They made a run at it.
Kept me up late on a Saturday night. Appreciate you, Hoosh. Thanks so much.
All right, Doug. Take care, man.